A philosopher-scientist, which scientists are fully aware, is a connection between physical states and the absolute non-necessity of such physical states. This is Dr. Herbert L. Bailey, Dean of the University of Healing, the University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California. A philosopher-scientist, which scientists are fully aware of, is a connection between physical states and absolute non-necessity of such physical states. Kind of an interesting direction to have our thought go, isn't it? It's an interesting direction to have our thought go because we are so bound up by the physical universe in which we live that we think this is our reality. And, of course, it is our reality because we make it our reality. However, it does not have to be our reality. It should not be our reality, and it isn't our reality. But we enjoy pretending that it is. Now, as long as we pretend that it is, we will live in a manner of speaking so that it will be expressing that which it is. So long as we believe that it is, we will be putting it into motion as a reality for ourselves, and the world doesn't care. The world finds it humorous when people do silly things. When you watch children playing games, and they're playing games that one day they will be playing adult games as, and they play it from the children's level. And in the children's level, they have certain rules, and these rules are what the children have to follow. However, the children want to do it their way. They want to express it their way. They want to think it their way. In fact, they want to even rewrite the rules. Now, one of our very definite, dynamic students, Ingeborg Pukert, who are here on campus, who is one of our longtime monks, a very remarkable lady. When you play games with Ingeborg, she is such a realist. She is such a technician for principle and standing firm for principle. She finds it hard to play a game. She finds it hard to use her imagination. And because of that, life is filled with a lot of very serious activities. And I keep telling her, lighten up, love, lighten up. This is to be fun. We don't have to be so serious about all these things. But she wants to be very serious. Now, there's an area where Ingeborg has her Achilles heel, you might say, and that area is in playing games, like we play cards, or we play chess, or we play checkers, or we play any game at all. It doesn't matter what the game may be. And as soon as we begin to play, Ingeborg explains to us that the game really has a different set of rules than we're familiar with. And so she sets out to point out what the rules are. And as mobile and and as cooperative as we are, we say, of course, okay, well, keep that in mind, and that will be the rules by which we play this game. So as the game proceeds, Ingeborg says, no, I think I've changed my mind. We'll have this rule that way. Now, but she doesn't say, I've changed my mind. She says, no, this is the rule here, and that's the rule. She comes up with a lot of variations on the rules. And what she's really doing is just she's playing a mind game there with us to see if we can be untouched by all of the suggestions that she makes. And so she's making all these suggestions which are just blowing our mind because we thought we were playing a game and we were established in a certain set of rules, and then all of a sudden the rules are changed. But being as flexible as we are, we moved to the new set of rules. And then we played for a while with that, and then all of a sudden she has another set of rules that are for us. And so we'll move to that other set of rules. And we say, well, now that's a very unstable mind. And just the contrary. That's a very stable mind. That's a mind that says to itself, whatever I choose to do is what I choose to do, and it's right. And I believe in myself, and I believe in what I'm doing. Now, the world and many others would say, that's not correct. She is not being consistent. She is not being stable in her thinking. And really, she's being very stable. She knows exactly what she's doing as she plays any game, and as she brings these variable rules into the game as we're playing it, she knows exactly what she's doing. Now, we may find that difficult to perceive and understand, but this is all pointing out to us the non-essentialness of the physical universe, that it is totally unimportant relative to its absolute counterpart. And counterpart is the wrong word there, because there is no counterpart. There is absolute and there is relative, and the two are untouchable. They are unable to interact with one another. The two are incapable of having intercourse because they have nothing in common. They have nothing that would allow them to be the, what? The human and the divine have nothing in common? That's right. The divine says I can't, and the human says it is. The divine says I want, and the human says it is. The divine, human says that these are limitations, and the divine says, go for it. Whatever human limitations you want to create, go for it. That's perfectly okay. You see, the absolute has no concern as to how we play the games of being human, or how we play the games of our awareness of absolute. It has only the point that, hey, this is a step we're taking. It has only the point that this is a way of looking at this, and it's a wonderful thing. How would we think about the absolute non-necessity of states of awareness from the human point of view? Well, again, we don't think of that. We don't think of the non-necessity of states from the human point of view, and the reason that we don't think of that is that they don't exist. They are a relative aspect, and as a relative aspect, they come and go, they are variable, and while they do affect our existence, because we let it, it really doesn't. It really has no consequence to anything at all. It only has consequence because we give that the consequence. Scientists have become aware of that. Scientists are aware of it. In fact, in a recent article, the scientists were saying that there is no space and there is no time. And we've all heard that a number of times. Our metaphysical scientists have said that there is no space and no time from the beginning of metaphysical thinking, from the earliest philosophers who have proclaimed this truth. And now, the physical scientists, you would call them the human scientists, are coming up with the same awareness. And coming up with that same awareness, they made an interesting statement, which I thought was wonderful. And I don't have it lying before me, and I will bring it up at another time, but I'll bring it up now just for the moment. They said, since all time and space are right here, if you were to pray, and they have proven this in their laboratories, if you were to pray and you were to say that when I was 20 years old, I had an accident, and if you were to pray that you did not have that accident when you were 20 years old, that you were guided to drive properly and therefore not have that incident that caused a problem in your life and that you lived with all of your life, that you did not have that accident, and therefore right now you're living in a body which is not subject to the conditions of that accident. And they're saying that you can, because all time is now, all time is right here in this present moment, that when you're speaking about something past, it is in the present moment. And so therefore, if the accident did not happen, and your statement can certainly make it so that it didn't happen, then all the ramifications of that accident, all the ramifications of that incident, would carry out through your lifetime. Say, for instance, you twisted your leg badly and you had to go with a limp all of your life. And so the accident did not happen. So you did not have a limp all of your life. You did not have the mental attitude that went with the limp of thinking you were less than perfect. You did not have the limitations that a limp did to you, that you couldn't run track and you couldn't play basketball and you couldn't do dancing and so forth. Well, without the limp and a normal leg, you danced and played sports and just had a great old time. And today, because you were with this limp, you put yourself into a type of work that would not be inhibited by the limp. However, it didn't express your highest and your most genius aspect. But without a limp, you soared on in your education and your program for yourself because you realized your dream could be realized. And so you carried yourself through to it. And today, because you put the new cause in motion for the accident at that time, today you're experiencing a spiritual healing, which means that all the conditions of that limp are no longer here. You do not experience any limitations from them in this present moment. And nobody else remembers that you ever had a limp. Nobody else remembers that you ever had the problem, because indeed you did not have the problem, because indeed you spoke your word in the now that that problem never need to have taken place. Now, you say, wow, that's a powerful one. That can do all sorts of wonderful and dynamic things. And yes, that's true. But it's just the absolute non-necessity of such states. If you want them, fine, have them. If you don't want them, then don't put them into motion in your life, in your affairs, in your experiences every day. Just put into motion in your experiences every day exactly what you choose for yourself, what you think is the most exciting thing in the world, what you think is the thing that's going to give you the most happiness and the most joy, the thing that's going to be so revealing to you that you're going to say, wow, I love this. But you will not love it because you didn't have it. You will never know that you didn't have it because you will always have lived in the attitude that you had it. Because when you put new causes in motion, you bring about conditions that affect your entire life and that affect the entire life of everyone who's in your world, who's in your experience. So, I know all of us have had experiences in our life that we wish had never happened. A person might have shot another person and it was an accident, and of course there are no accidents, but they feel that it was wrong and they didn't want to do that. And of course, they paid the penalty and went to prison and things like that. But if they were to pray and pray that they had the wisdom not to shoot, the wisdom not to play with guns, the wisdom not to do such a terrible thing, and that incident never happened, that they were wise at that time, and throughout their life they were wise. The incident did not happen, and the person's life would be entirely differently affected because they wouldn't be in prison. They wouldn't be thought to be a murderer. They wouldn't be thought to be many other things that would limit them. And you see, in this moment, which is the same moment that the incident happened, is the same moment that you put the cause in motion, that all is in divine order, and that you are living from this pure, beautiful level of consciousness. And so you are. It's a heady statement to bring to our attention. It's a very demanding statement, because it seems like we're messing around with Mother Nature, and we are. It seems like we're messing around with principle, and we are. It seems like we're doing something which is not very nice, and you're wrong. There is no nice or not nice about anything you do when you're dealing with principle like this, because the morality of it has nothing to do with it. It might, if you felt that you were unworthy of it, you wouldn't put it to practice. If you felt you were worthy of it, you'd put it to practice. And the wonderful thing about that is, when you put it to practice, nobody remembers that you had not done that all of your life. No one remembers that you have not done that all of your life. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful awareness. It's a wonderful gift. So today, accept that fact. The philosopher scientist, which scientists are fully aware of, is the connection between physical states and absolute non-necessity of such states. Complex phrase, complex words, but a simple thought. All time is now, and therefore we can create the past and the future new anytime we want by speaking our word, and it is done. I love you. I love you. I love you.